Our next guest was the first Secretary of Defense to come from the ranks of enlisted combat veterans. He fought in Vietnam. He led the Defense Department under President Obama from 2013 to 2015 and resigned in what he called a mutual decision between him and President Obama. Before he became Secretary of Defense, he was a two-term Republican senator from Nebraska who voted for the Iraq War, but later broke with the Bush administration over how it was being conducted. Chuck Hagel is now a visiting fellow at the Harvard Institute of Politics, and he joins us now. Mr. Secretary, welcome.
Thanks, Jeremy.
So are you ready to support any candidate for president this year?
Well, I, like most Americans, have been much aware of this campaign and listening carefully. And I will vote. I haven't decided yet how I will vote, but I have not missed a federal election vote every 2 years since 1968, when I first voted on top of a tank in Vietnam. So I'm very proud of that record.
But people may be surprised to hear that the former Secretary of Defense, a former U.S. senator, is right now an undecided voter.
Well, I'm not sure that's unusual. Just because I've been in politics and in the cabinet doesn't mean that I don't carefully listen and analyze and assess things, because I do. I have never been just an automatic vote for the Republican Party or any other party, and that's gotten me in trouble over the years with my own party. But I think a citizen has a responsibility to make the best judgment he or she can based on what he or she thinks is the right thing for the country. I did that in the Senate. I've done that in my entire career. So I don't think that's any different from casting a vote. At least that's the way I look at it.
Could you see yourself supporting Donald Trump?
Well, like I've said, I haven't decided who I'm going to vote for, so
it could
we'll
be
see.
Either Trump, Clinton, or one of the others?
Well, it could be a whole list of things. John Kasich voted for John McCain, so.
Right. Well, what do you think about what's happening in the Republican Party right now? This is the party that you were a part of for a long time.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not sure what the Republican Party is or what it stands for or what the governing philosophy of the Republican Party is. It's not the Republican Party I started out in many, many years ago. I think it's today an amalgamation of tribes. And the Republican Party is going to have to come to some new center of gravity in what it is and what it believes, at least their governing philosophy. You have today different groups within the party, dominated one group by the social issue conservatives, another by the financial issues Republicans, another by the so-called hawkish Republicans who want to use the military everywhere and more. You've got another group that's a small government, less taxes crowd. So it's an amalgamation of different groups with no clear leader in the party itself. Parties are and have to be bigger than that. They have to be, as you've heard the old saying, it's got to be a wider tent. And also, it's a party that I think has alienated minorities and I think has politically done a lot of dumb things. And I'm still a Republican, and I'm not going to walk away from the Republican Party, but the Republican Party needs to get itself put back together and be relevant again. And when you look at, for example, registered voters in America today, not the majority, but the plurality, I believe, are independents. And the Republicans are third in that voter registration nationally. Well, a national party can't continue to survive that way. So I think the Republican Party will find that new center of gravity, or there will be something to replace it.
What about on the Democratic side? What's holding you back from supporting Hillary Clinton?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of Trump or Clinton, but as I said, I've watched and I know them both. I worked with Hillary Clinton know, of course, of her experience and have a relationship with her. And so I'm not going to debate the merits of either one right now.
What do you think the next president is going to have to do to deal with the divisiveness in this country right now? We've heard all about the anxiety that this election is causing so many people.
Well, I think that's the most immediate and biggest challenge that the next president is going to have, as to how do you bring this country back together to responsibly govern? How do you lead a government that is functioning and it's functional? That's going to be difficult because of the bitterness and the hatred and the vitriol that has been spewed out of both campaigns all year long. And you don't just fix that on November 9th or January 20th. This is going to be a tall order. And this is at a time when I think America, and certainly the next president, is going to be faced with an agenda of immensely complicated and combustible and interconnected problems, not just in the United States, but in the world. So this is going to be a tall order, but the next president is going to have to do that. And I think that's got to be a first priority for this next president, reaching out to the Congress, reaching out to both parties, reaching out to our allies around the world, and I think reaching out to President Putin and others.
You were Secretary of Defense when the fight against ISIS really got started. As you know, right now, U.S. troops are helping Iraqi forces and Kurdish forces try to retake the biggest city that ISIS controls, Mosul, in Iraq. How do you see the fight against ISIS going? And do you think that it will be significant in that fight if the U.S. as well as Iraqi forces are able to retake Mosul?
Well, first of all, that accumulation of forces will take Mosul because they will so overpower ISIS. And I mean, you've got Turkish troops are going to be involved, different Kurdish troops, as you said. You've got Shia militia involved, Iraqi regular forces. We're involved, the United States. Some of our NATO allies have been flying sorties with us on this, the GCC countries. Many, many forces, actually, which complicates it. The real issue is not whether Mosul can be retaken. It will be retaken. It's what happens afterward.
Right.
And that's the whole set of questions we did not ask ourselves before we invaded Iraq in 2003. Who governs? Who's legitimate to govern? How will the new governing coalitions be established? How are you going to rebuild the country? How are you going to put together historic religious, ethnic, tribal differences between Kurds, Shias, Sunnis, which got them into the trouble that they're in right now and which allowed ISIS to take Mosul, and when the Iraqi divisions dropped their weapons and ran. So these are the bigger issues, I think. And then it isn't just one country. We can't ask just questions about Iraq. This is a regional issue. It's Syria. It's Iraq. It's Libya. It's Yemen. Lebanon has just announced it's going to have a new president, which is different from what we've seen before, which gives the Iranians more influence in Lebanon, the Saudis less. So this is regional, and I think we've got to come at it on a regional basis.
One more question, Secretary Hagel. One of the things that many people, even people who are with President Obama on a lot of other issues, have criticized him for is that he set a red line in Syria about chemical weapons and then didn't follow through on it. You've been one that has criticized him as well on that. What do you think he should have done there?
Well, I think once he laid that out, and by the way, that statement by the president was made before I got there, but after it was confirmed by the United Nations and other independent groups that, in fact, Assad's troops had used chemical weapons more than once against the civilians, and the president of the United States had told the world that that was a red line and Assad would suffer consequences, then action had to be taken. And there were many options as to what we could have done and what, in fact, we had agreed to do and we're going to do until it was pulled down. I think that decision to pull it down after it was agreed to go ahead with it cost the country and the Obama administration a great credibility and trust in our leaders around the world and our allies. And I heard it from everybody. I heard it from our NATO allies. I heard it from our GCC partners that we can no longer trust the word of the United States. It's complicated. I get that. No easy answers. I get that. But what it tells us is, and it's a lesson for any president, when a president makes a statement like that to the world and he raises the hope of people in those areas, and you got to remember, it isn't just our allies and the people in that area listening carefully. Our adversaries are listening carefully as well. But when you make a statement like that, you better do something to follow through on that, because it will affect your credibility and your trust, and that is the coin of the realm in everything, in all relationships, and certainly in foreign policy.
That's Chuck Hagel, former U.S. Secretary of Defense, a Republican senator from Nebraska. He's now a visiting fellow at the Harvard Institute of Politics. Secretary Hagel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.